Everywhere they look, Northwest scientists find teeny tiny plastic pollution. Broken down particles are in our water, falling out of the air, in salmon, shellfish, and in our own bodies. Scientists, environmental advocates, and Democratic lawmakers in Olympia and Salem have seen enough to make them seek more regulations. Correspondent Tom Bonsi reports.
Professor Suzanne Brander is a toxicologist at Oregon State University. Her lab at the Hatfield Marine Science Center in Newport offers a window into the ubiquity of microscopic bits of plastic and what that does to animals and fish.
So we're sampling everything and the kitchen sink these days to see if micro and nanoplastics are accumulating.
Brander looks around the Science Center's walk-in freezer where the shelves are chock-a-block with rockfish guts, squid, sea otter poop, shellfish, even human sewage.
Biosolids that have been sent to us from various wastewater treatment plants.
When the lab techs examine the samples, they pretty much always find some traces of broken down plastic litter or fibers or tire particles.
So, and it's getting cold in here, so I'm going to exit.
Brander is also running experiments where she intentionally feeds artificial particles to small fish and shrimp. Her team is seeing that ingestion of microplastics leads to reduced growth, cellular stress, or changes in swimming behavior. As a scientist, Brander says she hesitates to be seen as an advocate for political action.
But the science is there. We may not have all of the answers yet. We may not have a clear picture on what's happening with human health, for example, in terms of microplastic exposure, but there's enough data to support moving forward now rather than waiting.
Brander co-authored an open letter signed by scientists from leading universities around the world urging swift agreement on a new United Nations treaty to reduce plastic pollution. Rather than acting swiftly, though, the treaty negotiation involving 160 countries is proceeding at a snail's pace. Oregon Democratic State Rep. David Gomberg says in an ideal world, Congress would also pass laws to reduce plastic pollution. Then the rules would be the same for everybody, not where we are now with states and cities legislating in piecemeal fashion.
The products that we are buying and using here in Oregon don't all come from Oregon. So we can write all kinds of laws about what we do for products that we can sell here, but sometimes that makes it more expensive for those products to reach the marketplace, and sometimes that means that fewer of them will come into a state the size of Oregon.
That said, Gomberg and other West Coast lawmakers recognize it could be a long wait before Congress does anything, so the spotlight for anti-plastic campaigners returns to state capitals, where they've already registered wins.
And as we advocate, we start to see other states falling in line.
Charlie Plybin lobbies for plastic pollution policies with the Surf Rider Foundation in Oregon.
And as more producers are having to operate in different states under different policies potentially, that drives some more interest for federal solutions that can create some consistency for the entire nation.
In Salem this year, Democratic State Senator Jeanine Solomon has a passel of bills drafted to tackle everything from banning styrofoam takeout boxes and packing peanuts statewide to changing the health code to allow consumers to bring refillable containers to restaurants and grocers. In Olympia, several Washington legislators are copying ideas previously passed by Oregon, including making producers responsible for reducing their plastic packaging or increasing recycling. Others propose to ban those little plastic toiletry bottles and wrappers in hotels. And there's a new try to pass a bottle bill for Washington. Prospects for passage are by no means a slam dunk. Industry lobbyists are lined up to ask for more transition time or pointing out unintended effects. Peter Godlewski of the Washington Association of Business testified this past week that banning styrofoam used to float boat docks could actually result in more trips to landfills.
Air-filled docks are much less robust than the foam-filled version and are both fail more frequently and have a shorter lifespan.
Last summer, California passed the nation's strictest law to reduce plastic pollution. The state mandated that two-thirds of all plastic packaging must be recyclable or compostable within the next decade. I'm Tom Bonsi in Newport, Oregon.